In the holy name of Jesus, amen. First and foremostly, God bless you all, making it here on this nasty spring day. May God bless your going forth from this house of God, keeping you safe on the road to get you home. March 8th marked the 14th anniversary since my Grandpa Johnson died. For a number of reasons, I remember his final days and weeks vividly. I remember visiting my grandfather in the hospital around the Christmas, New Year's holiday. He had pneumonia, the old man's friend, as some put it. And I remember the look of terror in his eyes as he saw me walk into his hospital room. My father and mother, they left. I was in seminary, so of course, I'm going to be a pastor, so he can go in there and talk with Grandpa. It was a wonderful time to have with Grandpa in the end. I saw the terror from a man who rarely showed any emotion. He grabbed my hand, a man who very rarely ever showed any physical kind of intimacy. He was never the guy who you give a hug to. But he didn't hold on to my hand for too long, of course. Now, Grandpa, he did recover for a little while, but it came back. And so a few weeks after I was ordained in middle February, about 9 or 10 days before I started my first call in Upper Michigan, my grandfather died. I attended his funeral just a few days before I had to do my first funeral as a newly minted pastor. The last name of my first funeral was also quite familiar. The old saint that I buried, her last name also was Johnson. So my life as an ordained pastor began with the death of my grandfather Johnson. It began with the burial of a grandmother Johnson who was not related to me. And how fitting is that for a ministry to begin with death? Because the Christian life begins with death in baptism. Now, I spent time with my grandfather commending him to our Heavenly Father. Not an official commending of the dying like Pastor Judy led us through last week, and as we recited in Vespers, but a time that I got to spend with him before the Lord called him home. And when we go back to Ash Wednesday, we remember that we all indeed are terminal cases. And going through the commendation of the dying, we now come to our focal point for today, the funeral itself. Beginning with the body itself, entering into the congregation one final time. It might seem like a strange thing to do, to process the beloved dead back into the church, but with the logic of baptism in mind, it makes perfect sense. How, after all, do we enter the church? Well, we enter the church through baptism. What happens in holy baptism? We just read that before the hymn. We are buried with Christ in baptism that we might live and walk in the newness of life. We are buried with Christ through the water being applied to our bodies and the word of God spoken over us with God's name being placed upon our foreheads. And so we begin the funeral in the same way with remembering baptism. We begin towards that end of the church, the south end, to walk in, and we cover the beloved dead and their casket with a pall, a symbolic reminder that those who have died in Christ, that those who have been baptized in Christ are covered in Christ. That they are not their own, but they are under the lordship of another. As that body is covered, we are reminded that this very body also was washed with the water and the word and claimed by God in holy baptism, that this body has been ransomed by the saving work of Jesus Christ. St. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 with this wonderful reminder and promise. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. So again, the funeral service begins with that in mind. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. You belong to another Lord, not death, not sin, not hell, not Satan, but Jesus Christ. Your body was bought and paid for, ransomed from sin, death, and hell by the body and blood of another, by the body and blood of Jesus Christ. As Pastor Drudy pointed out in previous weeks, that's why we hear all those wonderful promises and statements from St. Paul. Galatians chapter 3, as many of you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, put on the new self. Romans chapter 13, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verses 4 and 12, when Jesus Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. And our Lord also spoke of such clothing in Matthew 22, the parable of the wedding feast. Jesus says, when the king came to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. He said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? Bind him hand and foot, cast him out into the outer darkness. So there is a wedding garment that we must have to enter the kingdom. And thus, in the funeral procession, we clothe the beloved dead with the pall, P-A-L-L. We cover them, their casket, their bodies, as an ever-present reminder that this man or this woman has been baptized, clothed in the righteousness and purity of another, the righteousness and purity of Jesus. And that one day they will rise again. Just as surely as they rose up from the waters of baptism, having the name of God placed upon them, so too will they rise again on the last day as God calls them by name. And this connects us to our reading from the Gospel of John, where we see in the midst of the passion of our Lord, how our Lord Jesus' body is being prepared for his funeral procession, as his body is prepared by sinful men with his impending death. We see how his body is flogged, a common disciplinary practice for criminals and slaves where whips would be attached with bone or metal pieces to paint the recipient's back bloody red. We see how Jesus' body is clothed, first with a crown of thorns, and then mockingly giving clothing in the color of royalty, purple. Jesus' body is now prepared for his procession to walk through Jerusalem en route to the cross, where he is beaten, bloodied, crowned, and dressed as a king. Of course, we know all of this is done to mock Jesus and his claims and his disciples' claims that he is Lord, King of the Jews, Messiah, true Son of God, Son of David. And our beloved dead, they process towards the cross and the funeral as well, starting in the narthex, coming up here before the chancel. After their bodies are covered, not mockingly, but fittingly with the funeral pall, their bodies and caskets covered with the colors of righteousness and purity, here they come before the cross of their King, Lord Jesus Christ, the cross of the true Son of God and Son of David, the cross of their Messiah. Before this cross, unlike their Lord, they suffer no humiliation, no shame, as did Jesus. Before this cross, this very cross we see here, which has towered over countless saints here at Zion. Before this cross, they come before the one who is unembarrassed to call them brother and sister. Before this cross, they come before the one whose wounds will bring healing to their wounds of death, whose death will undo their own death, whose resurrection will raise them up when the Lord returns in glory. In many ways, this funeral procession prepares all the living in attendance at the funeral to say what Pilate said about Jesus. Behold the man. Behold this Jesus who suffered, died, and rose from the grave for you. Behold this Jesus in word and sacrament who will raise this dead body from the ground one day. Behold this Jesus who claimed this sinner, this sheep as his own. Behold this man who is also God, the Savior that is the head of the church, and we his body follow where he goes. And where does Jesus go? Through death to life. From being buried and dead to living forever. From tears of sadness to tears of incredible joy. Our own baptism prefigures this in our lives. Because what happened to Jesus' death and resurrection will happen to us. And our own funeral procession, the entrance of our bodies into the church, not only is a reminder of the unbreakable promise God made with us in baptism to be our God, to be our Savior, to forgive us our sins, to give us life and salvation, but this entrance of our dead clothed and covered as they go before the cross is a dress rehearsal as if it were our own resurrection. Because as our beloved dead and as we ourselves go before the cross of Christ, we go before the cross because God has something to say. What will he say? Well, you'll have to tune in next week, same time, same channel, to hear what the Lord God will say to you through that funeral sermon as the Word of God is preached and proclaimed on behalf of the dead to the living. And may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.